It's the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. Coming in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the NASA Lunar Science Institute podcast, which highlights the latest news and information of the Moon, on the Moon, and from the Moon. It's produced by the NASA Lunar Science Institute at the Ames Research Center in Moffett Field, California.
It's mission accomplished and mission success for the twin GRAIL spacecraft Ebb and Flow. Hi, this is Nancy Atkinson for the NASA Lunar Science Institute. Joining me today to take a look back at the mission is David Layman, GRAIL Project Manager. David, GRAIL was a success in every sense of the word, but I'm sure this has been a whirlwind of a year for you and the GRAIL team as you performed the mission, gathered all the data, and also published the first science results, as well as ending the mission in dramatic fashion, all within a year of when the two spacecraft entered lunar orbit on New Year's 2012. What were some of the highlights of the year for you?
The New Year's Eve last year and New Year's Day this year were the big highlights. It was the biggest firing of our rocket engines we ever had. They're about, 50 minutes in length each time. And so that was there was a lot of anxiety leading up to that event, because if we would have had a problem with the engines, we would have flown by the moon and missed the moon altogether. And so that was probably the toughest challenge we had for the year. But that worked out okay. The flight team did a good job preparing and testing and implementing the lunar orbit insertions for the two spacecraft. But then once we were in orbit around the moon, our job wasn't over. We had to do a whole host of maneuvers, what we call OPR phase, orbit period reduction phase, to get the orbit period of the two spacecraft down to a little less than 2 hours in orbit around the moon. And then after that, we went to a phase that's very unusual for spacecraft. It was called the transfer to science formation phase. And that was a series of about 5 or 6 maneuvers where we had to get the two spacecraft in a formation, an actual formation, whereas what happened on one spacecraft affected the others. And so that was pretty challenging for the team, but that turned out to work out okay. And then about a week ahead of schedule, on I think it was March 1st of this year, is when we finally turned on the science instruments and started getting the data. And that's when the science team, that's when their job started, the collecting that science. And so that was a 3-month phase. And for the engineers, it was a little more relaxed because we only had one maneuver that whole time. But then after the primary science phase ended on June 4th, there was a partial lunar eclipse. And the spacecraft, originally we thought that when we launched, we didn't think we could survive that eclipse, but the solar rays worked a little better than we thought, and the power demand of the spacecraft was less than we thought. And then the engineers came up with a way to survive that eclipse. And so, we survived that eclipse very well. Even though at first we thought that we wouldn't survive it, but we did. And then we went to our extended mission, and then that's when things got really hairy, because we went from an average altitude of 55 kilometers down to, 23 kilometers average altitude. And the moon's gravity is very lumpy. And so in order to maintain an orbit at the low altitudes, it required us to fire the engines 3 times a week. We had to fire thrusters 3 times a week. These are all maneuvers, all planned very carefully, 3 times a week. And we did that starting on the end of August through December 14th. And so that was very intense time frame. And so I would say the last 3 months were the biggest challenge was these 3 maneuvers a week and maintaining that orbit. I think prior to December 14th, the lowest altitude we got down to was like 1.95 kilometers. We flew over a moon mountain. We could go two Saturdays ago. So that was very exciting and very demanding on our team, and I'm really, really proud of our team.
With the limited time that you had for the spacecraft to gather data, I guess we're kind of used to these Mars rover missions lasting for years and other missions lasting for a long time. Did you ever feel rushed or wish the mission could have lasted longer?
Well, I would say yes. Like, not in terms of rush, but I was hoping that about a week ago, magically a gas station would arrive next to our spacecraft and fill up our tank and give us some more fuel to do some more. But that didn't happen. But no, we never felt rushed because we had good mission planners, and so we had adequate staffing to do all of this. And we had a really good team and adequate staffing. So people weren't working 100 hours a week. They were a challenge, but not excessively overworked throughout the whole time.
Could you talk a little bit more about the difficulty of the engineering and navigation that allowed the spacecraft to go so low above the moon, and how challenging was it that you didn't crash into any of the ridges or lunar mountains?
Okay, what was unique about our mission was that we couldn't have done the extended mission without the primary mission, because during the primary mission, we developed a gravity model of the moon, you know, a very precise gravity model, better than anything else around. Maria probably told you we're like three orders of magnitude better than any gravity model prior to that. And so we used this gravity model to navigate. So our navigators had this brand new gravity model, and that gravity model was used to fly the extended mission. Without that gravity model, it couldn't have been done. And so we knew very precisely the gravity of the moon, how it varies all over the moon. And the other thing was Maria, and she's the principal investigator, Maria Zuber, and Dave Smith, he's the deputy principal investigator. They were also the lead scientist on the LRO mission, Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, where they had a laser altimeter. And so that the data from the laser altimeter, which was pretty much brand new, is an accurate knowledge of the terrain. So we know the terrain of the moon down to a few meters. Okay, so we had the best terrain map of all time from the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, and then we had the best gravity map of all time. And combined those two together, the navigators were able to navigate during the extended mission where the average altitude above the spherical of the moon was on the order of 23 kilometers.
Okay. Wow, that's really interesting. The GRAIL mission ended on December 17th, as you mentioned, with the two spacecraft crashing into the moon. Can you kind of explain the reason why ebb and flow just couldn't keep orbiting the moon for a longer period of time?
Oh, the reason is, in order to maintain this low altitude, because of the lumpiness of the gravity of the moon, you have to do maneuvers to continually maintain that orbit. Otherwise, you're going to crash, all right? And so on December 14th, we had to do a maneuver. This was the maneuver to target our impact point. That was about 7 a.m. Pacific time on December 14th, Friday. We had to do a maneuver. And if we would have missed that maneuver, say for whatever reason, we missed that maneuver, we would have crashed in 4 hours. Okay. So we did that. We did the maneuvers simultaneously on both spacecraft within, 20 seconds of each other on ebb and then flow. And that maneuver was the targeting maneuver for the impact on December 17th, Monday, December 17th in the afternoon. So the lumpiness of the gravity when you're that low forces you to fire the engines to maintain your orbit. And as you do that, you're using up fuel. And so this past Monday morning, we were probably down to 1 or 2 kilograms of fuel remaining on each spacecraft. So that's why we had to terminate the mission. There was not enough fuel to do anything else with the mission.
And could you describe the final maneuvers that were done so that the spacecraft landed where you wanted them to and not on any of what are called the historical sites on the moon?
Well, the maneuver we did on Friday, December 14th, was the targeting maneuver. And that maneuver targeted our impact points on December 17th. But then what happened on Monday morning, or Monday afternoon, is we did what's called a burn to depletion maneuver. And the purpose of this maneuver was really an engineering demonstration of how much fuel was actually in the fuel tank. And so we fired the engines, but we didn't know how much fuel exactly we had. We had good estimates, but the maneuvers could have lasted anywhere from 0 minutes to 9 minutes, okay? And so, but the engineers and the navigator designed that maneuver so regardless of how much fuel was remaining, it did not change the impact point. And if you understand physics very well, I could explain that to you, but I'm not gonna attempt to do that now. But there's a way to design a maneuver regardless of how you do it, that won't affect the impact point. And so the engineers figured that out. So that's what we did for the actual impact, was this one maneuver. And it worked very well. I was worried the spacecraft would, you know, after we lost fuel, would spin out of control, but it did not do that. So we maintained control of the spacecraft through the end.
I was watching the webcast that was showing the control room as the spacecraft crashed into the lunar surface. And when everything went just how it was supposed to, I saw there was some clapping and cheers in the room, but there must have been some sadness too.
Oh yeah, I had my handkerchief with me and I was all ready and I had to use it a little bit because it was a sad moment for me because the two spacecraft, Ebb and Flow, for 15 months of operations had performed beautifully. During that whole time, we never had any safe mode entries, and it was pretty much a flawless performance by the two spacecraft. And the engineering, the flight team did a super job, and the people designed the spacecraft did a very good job. And so the performance was excellent, and it was a bittersweet moment for me. But unfortunately, when you run out of fuel, you run out of fuel.
Yeah. Well, David, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us more about the GRAIL mission, and congratulations to you and your team for a very successful mission.
Okay. Well, thank you, Nancy. Have a good day yourself.
To find out more about this topic, visit our website at www.lunarscience.nasa.gov. Any opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of NASA or the NASA Lunar Science Institute. This podcast is produced for educational and information purposes only. On behalf of the NASA Lunar Science Institute, thanks for listening.
This episode of 365 Days of Astronomy was sponsored by Clear Skies Observing Guides, a modern-day celestial handbook. www.clearskies.eu. Clear Skies Observing Guides, or CSOG, is a new concept in visual amateur astronomy. The observing guides contain thousands of objects to observe through amateur telescopes, with matching tours for go-to telescopes and matching astroplanar plan files. CSOG allows you to target deep sky objects and carbon stars you never observed before, night after night. Wishing astronomers around the world clear skies.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by Astrosphere New Media Association. Audio post-production by Preston Gibson. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this audio for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at 365daysofastronomy.org or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until tomorrow, goodbye.